Blog Talk Radio.
I hope you're doing fine out there without me. 'Cause I'm not doing so good without you. Things I thought you'd never know about me were the things I guess you always understood. So how could I have been so blind for all these years? Guess I only see the truth through all this fear. Living without you and everything I had in this world and all that I'll ever be, it could all fall down around me. Just as long as I have you right here by me.
Tribute show that we did is they wrote that song specifically for military, for police, for fire, for everybody involved in crisis. And with today being Veterans Day, which I have to say, happy Veterans Day to everybody out there who has somebody in the military who has seen action, who has lost family members who were in the military, whether active or just due to old age. Our hearts go out to you and your families, especially today.
And I have to agree. I've got
I've got a huge military presence in my family, both in the history and current. So with everybody that's out serving, everybody that had served, everybody that didn't come home, thank you very much.
Yes, definitely
now,
thank you.
If you want to go ahead and do what we had talked about earlier.
Which part?
Background. What we had talked about in the background?
Yeah, no, and if you would like to go ahead and start, considering that you have more than I do.
Yeah, well, now I got to find it. It's a Monday, folks. Believe me, for some reason, I figured out what it is. I am fully aware now why Mondays absolutely blow. It is when Sunday just shits in your Wheaties and you don't open the box until Monday. That's just the way it works out. There we go. You know what? That ain't even worth playing. Is that breaking up for you or just me?
Just pause it for the moment and...
Yeah, just not even worth bothering with.
No,
but
no.
I'll tell you what.
Not that it's not worth bothering with, but...
Well, that version isn't. The one that's on our board isn't. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But they always watching... clips earlier of, you know, the surprise homecomings and, you know, father's been away, mom's been away, and so forth. I'll tell you what, you want a good way to waste a box of Kleenex. Holy shit.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. I was watching some too. I don't know if they played it by you, but the dad that came home that ran up on the football field dressed in football gear. Did they show that one?
No, I haven't seen that one. I'll have to plead ignorance on that one.
All right, so what happened was there was two football teams that were supposed to start a game before they do the pre-coin flip. And they choose heads or tails of who's going to kick off, who's going to receive. One kid's dad on the opposing team, dressed up in the opposing team's gear, ran out on the field at the coin toss and was standing in front of his son and took off his helmet. And that's how he revealed himself to his son that he was home.
That would be cool. I like the one where, I don't know if they show it near you, but it's husband and wife are Skyping back and forth, sharing information on different houses. Finally, they agree on the same house. She takes daughter for the first time to go see it. Open the front door and dad's standing there in uniform. That one's pretty cool.
That's Zillow.com.
Yeah, there you go. And see, that's pretty good, though, and that's the whole purpose of a good commercial. You know what the item is when it's told to you, you know? And
yeah.
you know who the product is for. So that's the way it ought to be, man. That's a good commercial.
Yeah.
All right.
And
so how did your weekend go, brother?
The weekend was decent. Not much going on but the snow right now. Kind of more of a lay low, just chill out kind of weekend. So it was good. How was yours?
Well, mine was pretty damn sweet. I actually went to a public event place just outside Richmond called Hanover Tavern. Actually joined up with another team close by here. They had a couple of members out. One was having surgery of some sort. So we just needed people to help with the tour. Went through Hanover Tavern itself. It started in the early 1800s. Let's see. They run, obviously, a tavern out of it now. Also has a restaurant. Really good food, by the way. It's a nonprofit organization, so they do these ghost tours once or twice a year. You know, help drum up funds for the nonprofit, keep the location open. Also included a place across the street called the Old Rock Jail. And the original courthouse for Hanover County. So it's definitely got some history to it, all from the early 1800s, late 1700s. Had a couple of interesting things. Sitting at dinner, you know, they had a buffet dinner for them. I'm sitting there talking to a couple that had gone to the previous event they did, and they just came up for the dinner and the reveal on the last evidence. And while I'm sitting there talking with them, she gets this puzzled look on her face, looking over my shoulder, and then just kind of her eyes cut to the right like she was following somebody. And I'm like, did you see somebody behind me? I saw something. That's good. That's probably whoever poked me in the shoulder. While I'm sitting there, I just got a poke in my shoulder. I'm like, what the hell? All right, well, this is a great way to start this night. This will be good. So that was pretty cool. Went into the Rock Jail, and the way they used to do it was, now I don't know if it was just if it was inclement weather or what, but they would actually do the hangings in the jail. They'd set up like a scaffolding between the, well, over the stairway on the second floor, and they just dropped their ass down in the stairway. So I took my first step up onto the steps, and something grabbed my knee and squeezed my knee. So that was kind of cool. Of course, couldn't see a damn thing. At that point, we're not even set up, so I don't even have a K2 or anything going. I did have a recorder already started. Just unfortunately, I haven't had time to get through any of the evidence yet, but it was definitely a cool location. A lot of shadow play. I see Howard Odell is in chat with us. He was there as well. But we helped out Transcend Paranormal. And Howard from All Seeing Paranormal Society was another one that went along to help out. Pretty damn neat event. I think if they do it again, I'll definitely see if I can tag along.
Oh, I definitely don't see why not.
Yeah, I'll tell you that, you know, everybody's talking about paranormal unity and, you know, all of that. I'm not seeing a problem with it here in this area, man. We've got it going on. But, we definitely got it going on here. We've got three different teams that are in pretty good communication, you know, CPR East, All Seen, and Transcend. Some pretty damn good folks. So anybody that starts talking bullshit about there's no unity amongst the paranormal, tell them to kiss your ass. Check out Richmond, and we got you covered.
Well, even with that, tell them to check out Chicago, too, because I got nothing but love for every single team that's operating in this area, and we all work together. We all do stuff together. So, and, I mean, there's no drama that I've come across from here either.
There we go. But, well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have Chris Dedman joining us on air. I will let him give all of his background and so forth. I'm going to bring him live. Hopefully he's ready. If not, well, hopefully he's not on his cell phone sitting on the pooper. Hey, Chris.
Now I'm not on the pooper.
Okay, just making sure, brother. Just making sure.
I'm so glad that you all just kept talking, because I knew any minute you were going to jump on here. I dumped a whole glass of sweet tea And, yeah, so I've been frantically trying to clean it up before you all said, and now our guest is Chris Dedman.
Yeah, meanwhile, when you open your mic up as you're sitting there going, son of a bitch, I can't get all this dried up. My whole lap is wet.
Right.
That would be interesting. But,
man, that gets shot everywhere.
Yeah, that would be entertainment. There's another sound clip. Head on Full Spectrum Unleashed. Chris Dedman had an entire wet lap. We're not sure what made him squishy. Maybe it was Dennis's voice. <boys. laughs> Oh, man. How'd your weekend go, Chris?
That was really good, man. Not much going on. I did DJ a high school formal, like a winter ball type thing, over the weekend. And, you know, I tell you what, I've got a daughter that's 13. And I ever catch her dancing and dressing like these girls did, she will not sit down for a month. I'm just saying.
I certainly know what you mean, man. I've got friends that have kids about that age, and I look at their kids and go, I know your mama can afford a full pair of shorts. Where the hell is the rest of them at?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of a sticky situation for me because she's a seventh grader this year, but she cheers. She's cheerleaded and gymnastic, you know, since she was, what, three, I guess. And this year the high school recruited her. That's, you know, that's how good she is. And so I was really, you know, I was kind of like, okay, my 13-year-old seventh grader is now hanging out with high school kids, you know, basically. And I was real, you know, on the fence. I was like, you know, that's my baby. I don't want her, you know, she doesn't need to be introduced to things any quicker than she's already going to be, you know. And luckily, about 3 weeks after she made the team, her aunt got hired as head coach. So,
oh, there you go.
I now know she is very protected, and they're doing amazing. They just competed 2 weeks ago. They took first place in their division and first place overall, and then they competed this past weekend and took first place in their division and have been invited to compete at the state tournament next month. So not bad for a team that just basically was put together a few months ago, you know. So,
yeah, most definitely. You know, years ago, excited. My wife used to coach cheering, and some of them girls are definitely dedicated. That's a lot of work, too. But, hey, Matt, I'm going to let you chat for a moment. I've got one to screen. I'll be right back, brother.
All right, no problem.
He's going to go scream, did he say?
Yeah, no, he said somebody popped up on the board, unknown number, so he's got to check out who it is and all that kind of stuff. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, Chris, definitely appreciate you being back on. I know we had Tara on last week, but we actually do have possibly some surprise special guests that want to say hi to you that really, really like you, and I know you love and care about too. I don't know last time you talked to them or not, but as soon as people saw the post, they're like, oh, I got a call on. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, call and say hi.
I think Tara's going to call in also. She sent me a message saying that she might call in tonight, so.
Yeah, she might, but I know that there's one that you know, but you do not know about as far as any intention of calling in tonight that you should be pretty happy about. Kind of in,
cool.
I'll give you a teaser, in your line of work, kind of.
Okay, cool. Cool.
So.
That didn't narrow it down, just so you know.
All right, well, that's good.
I'm going to bring in another caller, Chris and Matt.
Okay.
All right, caller, are you with us?
I am.
There we go. All right, well, you're on air with Chris Dedman.
Chris didn't give his bio.
I don't need to give my bio.
it's online. Go look it
it's
up.
It's online.
No.
Yeah. Go to my website and read my bio.
She was going to be rotten, but I decided not to, so.
I was, and then I heard that he spilled tea, and here in the South, that's like abuse. That's
yeah.
just wrong on so many levels.
Right. Yeah, I was quite upset. I had me a full glass, last me through the whole show, and I dumped it. And then didn't even get a chance to get another glass, so that made me even more upset.
Yeah.
No better
it
than
could
Dennis's
be worse.
Coffee.
Yeah, well, actually, Dennis is sitting here drinking a Coke, debating whether or not to go make a cup of coffee, and then I keep thinking about, oh, Christ, I didn't sleep worth a crap last night. Yep, I did. You know, I was ranting and raving how great this Keurig was. I kind of have to change that. It has destroyed my sleep schedule. It is way too quick and easy to get a cup of coffee at 11 o'clock at night. So, of course, then at 1 o'clock at night, I'm laying there in the bed, drumming my fingers, staring at the TV, going, son of a bitch, this caffeine's going to wear off. I know it's going to wear off. Why did I have to choose the bold coffee? I really shouldn't have done that. I might as well have just had a damn espresso. Yeah. There's my rant.
Who needs sleep, man? You can sleep when you die.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for it after I'm dead.
Right.
But then again, I won't get much sleep then either, because you assholes will all be out trying to investigate and talk to me.
We ain't going to be trying. We just will. I know where to find you. You don't live that far.
You think we're going to let you rest in peace?
Shit. Ain't happening.
Nah, I ain't worried about it, because I already got it figured out. Matt and I talked about this the other week. Dennis, are you here? Can you hear us? Vote. If you're here and you'd like to say anything, please let us know. Chicken. You're going to need EVPs that just dumbass words and me in the background laughing.
Oh, that'd be great. So, Tara, how was your lasagna?
I haven't eaten it yet. You see how much I love you guys. I actually put off eating my freaking lasagna for y'all.
Oh, well, you're just dumb.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. Lasagna was...
It happened. It happened. But you know what? That's cool, because they will make it fresh for me as soon as I walk my little butt inside that door.
Hey guys, I got to go. My lasagna's finishing up. So, have a great show, and I'll talk to you later.
Peace.
All right, buddy,
nice talking
good.
To you all.
Thanks,
catching
Matt.
Up. Dennis, I saw that you and your wife just had an anniversary. Congratulations, dear. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, dear. Thank you. Yeah, we've had 13 years. I'm surprised I haven't woke up with my head shaped like a skillet yet.
Yeah, I was going to say she's put up with you for quite some time, hey?
I was going to say congratulations.
Yeah, you know, thank God there are good psychotropic drugs. She's been able to cope with me.
What are you slipping in her coffee, man?
She doesn't drink coffee, but she drinks the hell out of tea. So I just had to find out what would dissolve easily in an ice drink instead of hot.
Careful now. No incriminating yourself on the air.
Also on top of that, I have to say happy birthday to Hope. Congratulations on the anniversary, and Hope, happy birthday. Love you. Not going to release age, obviously.
Aww.
So never do that to a woman.
I'll give her age up right now. 29 and holding.
Are you looking for the skillet head or what?
No, not especially. I mean, I'd prefer not to have my head shaped like a skillet. I did discover something, though. I'm obviously a complete dumbass.
Barely not.
Like I said, we've been married for 13 years. Her main threat all this time is that, you know, you'll go to sleep And one of these nights, you're going to wake up with a head shaped like a skillet. What did my dumbass do? I went and bought her cast iron. When I was a kid, Mom told me to go pick my own switch. I'd always pick the one that wore out the soonest. Well, what do I do with someone that wants to shape my head like a skillet? I buy them the best shit on the market. Not real bright there.
Well, we'll be investigating you sooner than later.
That's a good possibility. That is a very good possibility. Speaking of investigating, I did end up speaking with a young lady that I probably will need your help with, Tara. Sometime this week I'll give you a call. And
you know how to get a hold of me. Absolutely. Just let me know.
Happy Veterans Day
to everybody as well. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You're welcome.
But yeah, part of it
kind
is
of crazy.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Y'all got real quiet. I did want to stop in and say hello to everybody. I'm glad that Chris is joining you guys tonight. He really does have a website. You guys should check it out. It's awesome. In addition to that, find him on Resurrection Talent. I am going to let y'all go host your show and actually talk about something paranormal and eat my lasagna. I'm sorry, but it's lasagna, man, and I'm Italian, and that's just kind of how it works.
I left the conversation about 30 minutes ago because my lasagna is done. Mm. I'm kidding.
Y'all just ain't right. I had a nice big bowl of Brunswick stew before this. Homemade. Mother-in-law actually made it, and I'll definitely throw kudos her way, man. That was some good shit. But anyway, thanks for calling in, Tara. We definitely appreciate it, sweetheart.
Not a problem. I will talk to you guys very soon. Have a good night.
You too, Tara.
All right, darling. Be good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, all right, Chris, what exciting do you have coming up, my friend?
What's that?
I said, what excitement do you have coming up?
Well, let's see. I just sent out two Halloween buckets full of candy to two little girls that missed out trick-or-treating. And it's so funny because, you know, that's just my nature. I've got a heart the size of Texas, and I read this story on Facebook where these two girls, and I knew their parents, but they were at a grocery store earlier in the day, and they were kind of running around being silly like girls do, and the younger one was running towards the dad, and she tripped or fell or whatever, and she hit the concrete floor face first, and it literally knocked her out for a couple of seconds. So they had to take her, you know, by ambulance to the ER, and, you know, anybody's ever been to the ER, no matter – and it's so funny because they call it an emergency room, but nobody's ever in a hurry to do anything about an emergency. No offense to doctors or anything, but it always seems like you sit there for hours. And then when it's time to go home, it's like, why does it take 45 minutes to come tell me, okay, you can go home now? You know, they have you sign some paperwork, and it's like, did it really take you 45 minutes to print 5 sheets of paper for me to sign? But, so anyway, but they missed trick-or-treating because of being stuck in the ER all night. And my kids went trick-or-treating for them, basically. And we filled up a couple buckets, and I mailed them to them. And so they got trick-or-treat at their house without having to go. So it was, it's just one of those things, you know, I didn't have to do it, but I felt inclined to do it, and my kids wanted to help out, and it's just about helping other people that, you know, are unfortunate, and I know, you know, trick-or-treating is not about candy and all, but, you know, it is for a kid, and you know, I would have, you know, we were all kids once, and, you know, missing trick-or-treating, that's just kind of like back then, that's a very, you know, dramatic thing in your life, you know. God forbid if you miss trick-or-treat, you know. So I wanted to make it up to him, and so we sent him a couple buckets of candy, and all is good now. And I think a couple of you also kind of sent some stuff to brighten their day since they missed Halloween. But as far as convictions and stuff go, I'm done for the year. I have one big investigation left. You know, I'm always working on private stuff, but as far as public goes, I guess public in a sense. Number one on my bucket list now, because, you know, I've done other things, but number one on my bucket list as far as location is the Ohio Reformatory, the prison there in Mansfield, and the 18th. I'm locking her down, and I can't wait.
That's December 18th? Or
no,
November?
This month. November, next Monday. Week from today.
Next Monday. Awesome.
I am going to be at the Ohio Reformatory Prison, and I'm actually doing it with it's a charity that I work with called Unity, A Journey of Hope, we're actually trying to raise money for them right now. They've been given an amazing opportunity to go out to L.A. To be a part of the red carpet event, for the Oscars next year, and there's a publicist that actually does a room for all the stars. It's kind of like a pampering room. They have, you know, manicures and people doing eyebrows and makeup and massage and all this stuff, and they pick two charities a year to be in this room, and then plus they get a table at the big dinner party or whatever also, and it gives them an opportunity to mingle with the stars and promote the charity that they're doing. And this charity that I work with is it was started by two hospice nurses that became a couple. But what they do is they grant wishes to terminally ill adults. You know, you kind of like the Make-A-Wish Foundation for kids. Well, this is for adults, and it's such an amazing organization, and the people that they've been able to help and reach out to is just, I mean, it's crazy. But it all got started because of Donnie and Marie Osborne. Did I say their names right? You know who they are, the singers. Anyway, they have a recipient that wants to meet them before they die. And so Bobby, she's like the detective of the group when it comes to finding out information and stuff. And she got looking and got on the horn and found out that their manager was out in L.A., and so she called, and come to find out he's not managing them anymore, but he wanted to know why, you know, what was going on. And so a 10-minute phone call turned into over an hour phone call, and so he invited them to come out to L.A. and be a part of this red carpet gala at the Oscars. And, you know, the thing is they're a very small organization. They don't have a lot of money. Most of the stuff comes from donations of local people or people that are a part of the team. And so now we're trying to hustle and bustle to get money together to fly them out to L.A., put them up for 3 days, make sure they've got money for food and stuff to be a part of this thing. And then the publicist has also come back with and said, look, I will agree to be your personal publicist for 6 months, I think it was. You know, something that would normally cost $30,000-$40,000, he's willing to do for $4,000, and
right,
he's going to get on. You know, he's going to get him on the Today Show, Good Morning America. I mean, this really could be the thing that opens the doors for them. They're such an amazing group of people, and they put so much into doing this for other people and granting their wishes, and they just never have gotten that one big break. You know what I mean? It's like every time they're at the top of the ladder, somebody knocks them back down to the bottom. And it's a shame, but that's society for you, you know. And there's a lot of people that have helped and jumped in and tried to do things for them. And, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, there has been you know, we've tried. It's just, you know, we just never got that big break. And they're meeting, one of their wishes that they're granting their meeting this week with Bret Michaels. And so they're hoping that maybe he can, you know, maybe pull some strings and help, you know, donate some money or something maybe towards this trip. But until then, we're scrambling. We're pulling.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope everything works out. Go ahead and throw out, and I'm sure they've got a website or something that people can help them out with.
Yes, I always say it wrong because it's two of them, and I get them both in my head, but it's a Unity, hold on, before I say it wrong, and I know that sounds bad, but I want to make sure I get it right because I always mess it up. But I just posted it on my Facebook.
Let's see if I can jump over to your Facebook real quick and find it. While we're searching for that.
Because it's one letter. If you don't get that one letter in there, it messes the whole thing up. And I want to make sure that I...
It doesn't do the same thing like whitehouse.org versus... Whitehouse.gov, right?
Yeah, right. And it is .org. And I did this big, long post about it. You know, people check it out, da-da-da-da. And then John, the guy that runs, you know, is the other half of the owner of the group or whatever, he sent me a message and said, you might want to check that website tag that you left out a letter, and it's going to the wrong place. And I was like, holy crap. Luckily,
yeah. So, I will tell you though that whitehouse.org, don't go to that unless you know. Well, never mind. It's just don't go there.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it is unityajourneyofhope.org.
Org. Yes. Yes. That A is always going to leave that out. So I want to put Unity Journey of Hope for some reason. I always want to leave that A out. But, yes, it's unityajourneyofhope.org. And what they do is they grant wishes for terminally ill adults. And adult means, you know, 18 up, basically. And it's, like I said, they're such an amazing group of people. And so what they do every year is they find a haunted location to take all the volunteers to as a way of saying thanks. Basically. And so this year they're going to Mansfield and, of course, asked if I would love to go. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's where they filmed The Shawshank Redemption. It's my number one favorite movie in the whole wide world. You better believe it.
Yeah. And, but I definitely am jealous, man. I would love to be able to go through there.
They have parts of the props from the movies there, too, like the tunnel that he climbs through, the poopy tunnel. That he climbs through at the end of the movie and stuff. They've got that tunnel. Obviously, wasn't real, but they've got it where you know there are other parts of it, the cell and all, you know. I mean, I'm excited. I'm stoked. I'm so stoked. And you know, I do Scarefest every year. You know, here in Lexington, Kentucky, you know, my hometown, and they come down every year to Scarefest to promote the prison. And every year they've invited me. You know, come up, you know. You know, it'll be on us, we'll give you the tour, da da da. And I've never made it. And so it's kind of like a homecoming in a sense because, you know, I'm finally getting to come up there and see them and then, you know, get to see the prison. And it's for a great cause. It's, you know, with a group of amazing people. And I've done, you know, we've done some, you know, we did Moundsville Prison together, which is kind of funny. We're kind of on this prison thing.
I'm jealous. I haven't got to go through Moundsville yet either. I did, however, what was it, the last year or next to the last year when it was still functioning. I actually worked in Moundsville for about 6 months.
That you worked in Moundsville?
Yeah, I used to do hazmat.
Check your
face. I did. I used to do hazmat cleanup, and there was an old Olin chemical plant there. It was the last plant in the U.S. that made phosgene or mustard gas.
Really?
And I worked in that plant, disassembling it and decontaminating it for about 6 months. At that time, there were only two bars in the whole town of Moundsville. One was the locals, the other was getting ready to close, and we took it over.
Wow.
But, yeah, I spent about 6 months in Moundsville. It was an absolutely gorgeous little town. The people there are very friendly.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, that prison, man, I got lost one night just driving around to see what I could see. You know, you get bored
in
a hotel every night. And I made a turn and look at this building at the end of the street, and I'm like, holy Christ, what is that?
Right.
Of course, as I drive up, I see the big sign that, welcome to West Virginia State Prison, Moundsville Correctional Facility, and I'm like, holy Christ. And just the building itself looks eerie. It has that, just has that look to it.
It does. It really does. And if you go across the street where the actual Indian Mound is and go to the top, you can really get a great view of the prison from end to end. And it's long. It's a very long prison. And, it's not as wide, but it's definitely long. I'd say that's probably, 2.5 city blocks long, the prison at least.
I was thinking
and,
more like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, it may be more. I'm trying to vision it, it's definitely long. And at one point, down where, they kept the really bad people, it's a prison within the prison. I mean, you're walking down hallways that are chain link fenced all the way around you pretty much, above your head and on each side, and, it's a maze of these, corridors or whatever, and it literally is. It's a prison within the prison. It's kind of wild in a sense, how they set it up. But that's where Red cell is. Red is one of the main spirits that was a former prisoner there that liked to kill people. And definitely we got a lot of activity in that area. And then there's an area underneath there you can go down under, and actually one of the guards or one of the prisoners lived down there. I can't remember his name right offhand, but he kind of was like the janitor, maintenance kind of guy or whatever. He kind of had free reign of the place, and Red actually ended up killing this guy as he sat on the pooper, speaking of poopers. And
is that the one that they beheaded?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's also the Sugar Shack. Now, I didn't get anything in the Sugar Shack. It was quiet to me. But, we know how that works. Things only, it doesn't work on command or whatever. But we didn't get anything down in the Sugar Shack area. Now, I know one of the shows did, they got some activity down in there. And I know if you ever saw that show that was on MTV called Fear, they had some stuff that happened down there in the Sugar Shack area. Matter of fact, MTV is not allowed back there at all because they proceeded to paint stuff on the walls and stuff while they were there filming down in the Sugar Shack area.
Well, that's asinine. Why would you do something stupid like that?
And it was something they did for the B-roll shot or whatever, and I don't remember the whole story behind it, but it was, it's pretty lame.
Lame, that's a good term for it. I'm going to check on some of your...
Chris, I think that I'd have to make a phone call, but I think that actually Ursula is down in your neck of the woods right now. Ursula Bielski?
Okay.
Don't know who she is.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, no, she's a Chicago chick, but she's done stuff all over the country. She does bus tours and everything else.
Okay. Yeah, now I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm
she's on Paranormal Challenge.
With name.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough challenge. I'm horrible with names. I got a photogenic memory. Like, I can remember faces all day long, but I'm so bad with names. And it's so funny because, like, a lot of times I'll put something with somebody. Like, for some reason I can't meet your name, but if you tell me you were from Texas, I would remember you were from Texas. Or, you know, and when you said bus tours and stuff, I knew exactly who you're talking about. Yes, I know. Weird.
Yeah, no, she's down there. She was in Tennessee, and then is working her way back up. But she was in, so I'm trying to look it up now, she was in Lexington. So,
actually,
isn't that far?
No. No, I'm actually out. I mean, I live in the suburbs, basically the suburbs of Lexington.
Well, I'm going to pick on some of the information on your bio, and I have to ask this one. Says you had your first experience with the other side at age 12. When the EMTs were bringing you back from a quote-unquote horrific firework explosion. At 12, I have to ask, why the hell were you playing with fireworks?
Because in Kentucky you did that kind of thing, man. It was no big deal to shoot Roman candles. I mean, we shot Roman candles at each other, you know, the little long we used to do crazy stuff like that when we were kids. You know, we didn't wear bicycle helmets and have little bells on our bikes. And, you know, I mean, it just didn't happen. And sometimes it would go bad. And it went bad that day.
Yeah, we did the Roman candle and bottle rocket tag.
Bottle
also.
Rocket. Oh, yeah.
Phew. Yep.
Yeah. Bottle rocket popping off, didn't you?
We had a principal at the high school that nobody really cared for, so we went out to his house, you know, within a couple of days of Halloween. I don't remember before or after.
Yeah.
We lined up probably 2 dozen bottle rockets aimed at his house and tried to light them off as close to simultaneous as we could. I think we probably left a couple sit there about the time one of them apparently hit the front big bay window. And must have popped just as it hit the window because it blew the glass out. Scared the living hell out of all of us. We ran like hell. By the way, if that principal is listening, it wasn't me. That's been 30
also
years
kids,
ago, so I'm safe.
Also, kids, do not follow in the footsteps.
No.
Yes, yes. We are what you call professionals. Who am I kidding? I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Just don't try that shit.
Yeah, we're professional idiots.
Yes.
And I'm right there with you.
Do as we say, not as we do.
Did you know my father? Because he used to love saying that shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell my kids that all the time. Do as daddy tells you, not as daddy does.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it's so funny, you know, it's so every once in a while you'll see that post on Facebook where it says, you know, if you played outside till the street lights came on, if you ate, you know, if you ate lunch without washing your hands, if you, you know, rode your bike without, you know, a helmet and jumped ramps, if you da-da-da-da, you know, and you were born in the 80s and the 90s, you know, click like. It's so funny how things have changed from then to now, you know, I mean. And even back then, I can remember, you know, in the 80s being, you know, they telling us in school that, you know, oh, yeah, the year, you know, 2012, we're going to be driving around in space cars and, you know, all, you know, the new thing was going to be, you know, the tram at Disney, you know, at Walt Disney World, the train tram thing. That was going to be like one of the main part, you know, things of transportation and, you know, they were so wrong.
I'm still waiting on my hoverboard from Back to the Future.
Right? Yeah, 1985.
The
1985, there was a possibility, but not now.
Yeah, right? The thing is the hoverboard actually was created. It actually was made. And it did do what it was supposed to do. The problem was that they could never get it to where it would you could actually control it. And that was the default in it. Basically, you got on the thing and it would hover, but then it would your upper part of your body couldn't keep up with your lower part of the body. It basically just wanted, like a skateboard would fly out from underneath of you. And that was one of the main downfalls of it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So basically you mean exactly like I do on a skateboard.
Yeah.
Let's see, I have had both my wrists broken.
Oh.
I have had an ankle broken. Yeah, it was all as a result of skateboards and other dumb shit. But hey, I do have a question for you out of the chat, Chris. Ross wants to know if you are still a part of St. Michael's Spiritual Warfare Group in Kentucky.
As far as I know. I don't think I'm out. my focus is on the paranormal clergy. I'm being mentored by Bishop Long right now to become an actual demonologist, which is, you know, I've been working on that for some time now, and I'm really, you know, it's a calling. It's not something that anybody can just go out there and do. And, you know, it's something that I've been reading on and, you know, studying on my own for a while now. And then finally, you know, this year Bishop Long just, you know, personally asked if I would like to be mentored. And I was like, yeah, does a fat kid love chocolate cake? And I'm now going through, you know, his studies and stuff. And as a member of the paranormal clergy, it just kind of goes hand in hand, you know. But I'm affiliated with several different kinds of you know, groups within the field. We all network together. We all help each other out when we can. So, you know, it's a great group to be a part of. And all of this has come such a long way, even from when I was, you know, back in 2008 when I really didn't know where to go or where to turn to. You know, now you've got more options, or it's almost like a telephone game. You can contact that right person, and if they don't know or that's not what they do, they can direct you to the next person that will or whatever, you know.
And that was the thing that we were talking about is with Tara too, is creating a network that you know and you trust and that you can confide in, and that you would recommend for somebody if there's something that you cannot do or it's not your expertise or anything like that. Because there's a ton of people, which I do honestly truly trust, and I've been contacted from people throughout the whole country. And as somebody in the Kentucky area or Tennessee or, you know, the surrounding area not too far from you, if they contacted me and said, hey, I need help, this is what I have going on, you better damn well guarantee that you're going to be a referral.
Absolutely. I mean, that's
what this
I'm
person
for.
Does. Go ahead.
I get referrals. I get requests and referrals all the time, even from people that are, you know, I was dealing with an issue, a very high profile person that's a very, you know, high profile in Hollywood. And so it was a very delicate situation because, you know, you're dealing with somebody's privacy and you don't want media to get involved and all that to find out what's going on. So it's a very hush-hush. You got to make sure you know who you're dealing with and who, you know. So I had to find a team that was out there, obviously, because I'm way too far away from L.A., and turn it over to them so that they could take control and be there for this person and you know, be somebody local. And, you know, that's just what we do. You know, it's not a matter of will we help. It's a matter of, you know, what kind of help do you need, and where are you at? You know, I went in Arizona, had a situation there where someone needed a team, and I, you know, within 2 days I had a team in contact with the client, you know, making arrangements to get up there and deal with whatever was going on. And it's so awesome to be able to do that, you know, and have that ability to reach out to people that I can work with. You know, the big thing is so many people out in this field that they're in it for all the wrong reasons. Most of them have watched, you know, TV shows or whatever and thought it would be cool to go out and be paranormal investigators, and they end up going in and doing more damage than they do good, and the client ends up paying and suffering in the end. And, you know, or you've got the flip side where, you know, you've got these teams that go in and you know, they think they know it all, and they're so damn proud. And I don't mean that in a positive way. They're just so proud and, you know, have an ownership in something that they would rather suffer and try to deal with something than to reach out for help, because, you know, then, you know, they would lose that fame to claim, or that glory of being, you know, in charge. And it's just, it's crazy. In the last 2 weeks, I have seen some crazy stuff going on in this field that really makes you want to go, I had a situation, I've got a situation where some people were a member of a team, and then they broke off and decided to start their own team, and now they've got a management company, and they're doing photo shoots and this and that. I'm like, for what? Who are you? You know, I mean, I know who you are because you're good people and friends and, you know, whatever, but that's what you did. You did it well. Stay at what you did and true to what you did. And, you know, now all of a sudden overnight you're celebrities. That's the word I want to use, you know. You're getting a management company, and you're taking, you know, you're doing a photo shoot and this and that. And it's like, why? Why? I'm confused. And then on the other flip side, I've got a team here on the East Coast that was approached by a priest about something that's going on in their church. It was used as a field hospital during the Civil War and some other things. I mean, there's you can see the blood stains on the hardwood floor from where the surgeries and stuff were conducted. And this team goes in, they reach out for help, and then when the help is offered and they're told, you know, well, give us the contact information so we can contact these people and give them the help, they, you know, go into instant panic mode because now somebody's, you know, taking their thunder. And so they decline all help. They go in and do an investigation, and they call it forensic investigating. Well, let me tell you something. You can't do forensic investigating in paranormal investigation. I'm sorry. You can't. And, you know, spraying luminol and stuff like that around a site where supposedly a murder took place and all this. Really? Really. Whatever. You know, so, you know, they go in and they film a scissor reel. And now I'm confused. You know, you're supposed to be going in and helping this client, which is a church, which is, you know, that doesn't happen often to have a church reach out to a paranormal team. And this person is, you know, they're a known liar. They fabricate so much stuff, it's unreal. They, you know, just in the time that I've known, they supposedly had 2 movie deals and a TV show, and which nothing ever happened. And, you know, it's just like, wow, you know. What can you do?
Well, I was talking to somebody who was on TV who's going to remain nameless, and they said the exact same thing to me and confirmed exactly what I'm going to say, is no matter what, if you do make it and you do get a a TV show, or you get a pilot even, or even just something small. No matter what, you're not an A-list celebrity. You're like a C-list at best in the paranormal. Chris, you've been on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Has it changed your life in dramatic ways in any way?
Nope. Not at all. And I hate the word paraceleb. Hate that word. When somebody refers to me as a paraceleb, I want to choke them. Because I hate that word. I'm not a paraceleb. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a man on a mission. That's what we'll call it. You know, I feel that, you know, from day one, you know, I hadn't been on TV. I didn't have a big network. I didn't have no big show. When I started doing conventions, I literally just went and started knocking down doors. You know, I went and said, look, this is the deal. People are getting tired of talking, of, you know, going to conventions and events and listening to the same people tell the same stories over and over on how they went to this location and this is the evidence they got when we just saw it on TV 6 weeks ago. We get it. There's a whole other side to this field. This field is very dangerous. And these shows are causing people to want to run out and, you know, become paranormal investigators, and families are getting hurt and, you know, whatever, and nobody's out there talking about it. And that's what I want to address. I want to talk about the dangers and the things that go bump in the night that bite back and, you know, whatever. And at first people were very, very very afraid of having somebody talk about that. And I got attacked by several people that were on TV shows because they felt that I was infringing on their bread and butter, that, you know, by talking about the dangerous side of this field, it was going to cause people not to like the shows anymore, and then they were going to lose and da-da-da, which we all know would never happen because you always got the psychos out there that don't care. But,
I fully agree with that. I actually got a little bit nauseated in a way when I saw that show. I think it's Destination America that's hosting it, is One Ghost Attack, or something like Ghost Attacks or One Ghost Attack or something like that. That, I mean, all that's doing is striking fear into the general public. And
I'm okay with that. It needs to be brought out. It's not all, you know, I just got a call from them. It's what Destination America is, the station order, which is owned by Discovery Channel, asking about my incident of what, you know, what happened in the Villisca Axe Murder House where I got attacked. And, you know, I shared that story with Ghost Adventures, and I'll share that story with whoever wants to hear, because it can happen. It can happen. And people need to know that it's not all glitz and glory, you know. And these people that, you know, you don't need T-shirts. You don't need logos all over your cars. You don't need all that. You know, that was one of the great things that I loved about Paranormal State and Ryan and his crew and stuff, and working with them, was that they were who they were. You know what I mean? You didn't see them in, you know, black T-shirts that said Paranormal State with a logo on the back, and, you know, pulling up in cars that had, you know, vinyl lettering all over it. They were who they were. It was exactly what we did before Taps came out. We went dressed wearing regular clothes, because the thing of it is, and which is so funny because it shows how hypocritical people are, is that, it, you know, 99.9% of people in the field say, oh yeah, the clients, you know, we want to protect them, and, you know, we don't want to draw attention to them, and da 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 da. You pull up in cars with your, you know, ghost catching name on it, and then you're wearing the shirts and shit, and you're walking around outside and all their property, You don't think neighbors are not going to see it and start questioning what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's been one of the big debates at the conventions and stuff this year. It's not a debate, but amongst a lot of people is, you know, what do you feel, you know, how do you feel about people that are going to investigations and wearing the T-shirts with the logos on them and all that stuff and da-da-da-da. And most people are coming back with they're objecting it. They're getting away from it because it's, you know, one, you're taking a chance of exposing the client, and that takes away from the privacy that you've promised them. And then, two, if you're dealing with an intelligent haunting, and Paul Browning, you know, a good friend of mine, he wrote a book called Thinking Outside the Box. He talks about in the book, you know, if you're dealing with an intelligent haunting and you go in and you've got this big shirt on that says, you know, ghost hunter, paranormal, whatever, and they're intelligent, then they know you're there to try to get them to come out. And you may be, you know, jeopardizing, you know, what you're doing. If it, in that case, that's what was to happen. A lot of people haven't thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I've got somebody else that just called in to join us, and I'll bet she has some really good ideas on the same thing. Bishop Reiki, are you with us?
I am here. Hi, everybody.
Hello, darling.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Chris. It's so nice to hear your voice. It's one of my favorite people in the field right here.
Oh, yes. It's mutual. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. And you know what? I absolutely agree with everything you just said.
No,
I
and
mean, seriously, why don't you go in
show,
with the...
And
yeah. I love it. We had a team, my first team, and I got yelled at constantly for not wearing my team shirt. And it had the letters, and it was black, and I was like... Don't you think the neighbors are looking at people in black shirts carrying all this equipment into a house?
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, they talk about privacy and, you know, protecting the client and da-da-da-da, but, you know, you pull up with, you know, Special X ghost hunting team plastered on the back windshield of your car and, you know, tapped family member or whatever, and then, you know, you jump out of the car and you're in black T-shirts with the big logos and the names and you're grabbing cases and boxes out. And, you know, you might as well just tell everybody that you're Orkin and you're there to get rid of the roaches. I mean, I mean, the same thing. You wouldn't want people to know you got roaches. You know, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. You know, it's kind of crazy. You know, quit living TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourselves. Be who you are. You don't need a T-shirt. You know, if you want to have a business card, absolutely. Hand the business card to the client when you get there so they know who you are. It represents you. It's your calling card. I get that. But you don't need all the other stuff. You really don't. And the money that people have spent on this stuff. I mean, look at, you know, your average team is only together for 6 months anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you realize that, and you've been a member of four or five different teams at, you know, $20 a pop per shirt. That starts adding up.
Yeah, that would be another K2 and a laser grid pen.
eBay likes to package deal those things. But, no, the same thing as to where, yeah, do I have shirts? Yes, I do. Do I wear them anywhere? No. Do I have mostly white ones? Yes. I don't have if I ever have to come across something to where it's a raffle, it's a giveaway at an event or whatever, like, it was nice meeting you, you know, something like that, here's a shirt, that's what I have them for. But
Yeah.
Anytime that I've ever showed up to an event, my Jeep, which is bright yellow and flamboyant, it's not the most inconspicuous vehicle, but there's no paranormal investigator stick-ons on the side of it. There's no paranormal investigator shit anywhere on it. It's just my car. Plus,
yeah.
I usually show up, and I'm normally wearing like a button-up shirt, not anything like tactical gear or anything weird. Like there's no need for that boisterous shit that really honestly truly means nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this problem in the field is just a carryover. A symptom of a problem in America, which is just that need to be special and above and one up. Like, it used to be cool to say I'm a paranormal investigator. Then too many people did it, so I'll one up you. I'm a demonologist. And there are a lot of people in the field who are spiritual. Well, I'll one up you. My printer ordained me. It's like, ah! But it is just that need to feel important and to blast it out. And I didn't know that there were paranormal shows on. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'd been studying it and investigating on my own so long. I actually was looking into going to Duke University to get a PhD in parapsychology because I thought you needed that degree to do investigations for people. And I was like, no, Billy Bob down the street just bought himself some stuff at the hardware store. Now he's going out investigating. I was like, wow, when did this happen? But,
yeah. And the bad thing is Billy Bob down the street that's going out doing investigating usually makes shit worse, and that's when folks like yourself or Chris have to go in and try to fix it. Or we get the calls to go in and try to fix it.
Yeah, and that's really
that's it is. It's sad because the last 2 years, 80% of my caseload has been fixing what somebody else has messed up. I mean, seriously.
Mm.
No, and it's sad because it now doubles your caseload for those that you're dealing with people that really need help. And then you're having to deal with people that really needed the help, but some Joe Smo or whatever went in and just completely caused nothing but chaos and more havoc for this family, and they've now lost that trust. So you're having to be a counselor first to, you know, tear down their walls to find out what's going on and what is happening, and then gain their trust and then try to the situation. So those cases actually take longer sometimes than just dealing with a normal case where nobody's been in there at all, you know. And and anybody that thinks that a case works where you go in on Friday and do an investigation and the next weekend you do a reveal and you're done, you're absolutely stupid. You need to get out of the field right now, because it doesn't work that way. You know, there's cases that take years. You know, just because you had one house blessing done doesn't mean that you won't have to do five or six more, because each time it may require a more powerful prayer to get rid of what's there, or whatever the situation may be. They just don't get it. And to think, another thing that burns chaps my ass, as they would say, is people think that they can only do investigations on Friday and Saturday nights. Oh, yeah, and I understand that because, a lot of people are off Friday and Saturday nights. But I'm telling you what, if a family is in need and they need help, it don't matter to them if it's Tuesday, Friday, or Wednesday. They want you to come to their house and figure out what's going on. You know, don't make it about you. Make it about the family.
Right.
I think if I were to put my team in specific uniforms, I would choose bunker gear. Because we pretty much run around pissing out fires from what other idiots have gone in and created.
Yeah.
So we are the paranormal firefighters.
Absolutely.
All right,
well,
guys,
people,
everybody drink a bunch of water. We got to go do another.
Well, everybody's going out there, and their only education is one season of whatever happened to be popular that year. And I've had that experience with different folks, and I just, you know, when you go on a team and someone starts talking to you about, you know, which shows do you watch, this part of the interview, and I start talking about J.B. Ryan and Charles Fort, and they're like, who? What? like, I think I need to go now. But, yeah, if your only education is a television show and you don't even understand what EMFs are and what they do, or I went into one house and someone was describing classic, you know, dark figure on the chest, couldn't breathe, and I asked them, have you ever been diagnosed with sleep paralysis? And the team leader's standing there, and she's like, what the hell was that? How can
oh,
you
Lord.
Be in this field and not know that? Of course you ask that. It was a classic case of that. And, yes, she had. She had had several instances of that. And, you know, yeah, it's not a haunting, but you can really ease their mind to let them know, you know what, it's horrible that that happens. There's nothing you can do, but it's not dangerous.
Right.
But no one asks that. No one studies these things.
And I've got one that was mentioned to me yesterday. I spoke with the mother briefly. She's got a 14, 15-year-old child that said he's woke up a few times and felt like he was being held down on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be, you know, when I schedule the actual interview, the in-house, and I go through and do my preliminary, that's going to be some of the questions. Has he had a sleep disorder study done on him? You know, have we looked at, you know, drug use or anything like that? Those are just,
well,
you know, I don't expect the kid to admit it, but I'm hoping that I can get him to open up talking to me instead of mother.
Right.
And, you know, the funny thing about that is it's so funny. I'll have teams call me and say, you know, I think we've got a possible demonic activity going on in this house, you know. And most people that do approach me, they know where I stand on that, that, you know, I don't just take everything at face value. And when they start telling me things that are going on stuff, and I say, okay, you know, that's interesting. That's, you know, it's kind of cool, you know, okay. Have you looked at their movie or DVD collection? No. Well, you know, that's one of the first things I look at when I go into a house. I want to see what are their interests, what draws them more. And if they've got, you know, every episode of The Exorcist that, you know, version that was ever made, and they've got, you know, all these scary movies and all that stuff that basically what you just described to me is seen in these movies, and they've got, of course, all the paranormal show series, you know, season 1 through 18, whatever, you know, that's a red flag for me. And then, you know, the next question usually comes, you know, well, you ask them what kind of medication are they on? Oh, no, that's too private. Oh, no, it's not. So you don't know.
You want my help.
You don't know if they're taking any kind of hallucinations or, you know, whatever. Well, no. Okay, well, did you ask them if they do drugs? Well, no, that's you know, that's too private. Well, no, it's not. There again, you need to know. You know, are they smoking pot before the test? Or are they, you know, are they sniffing on the crack pipe or whatever it may be? And then, you know, and then the big one is, I always say, have you had them go and have a psych evaluation done? And 99.9% of the time, of course, the answer is no. And why? And I said, because we need to rule out that they don't have any kind of schizophrenia or split personality. We've got
right.
to rule that out. And generally, when you're dealing with somebody that supposedly is having demonic activity or that something's going on and you really want to find out if they're being for real or fake, tell them to go get a psych eval done. one of two things are going to happen. Either they're going to find an excuse why they can't, or you're never going to hear from them again.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
That's,
sure, and,
that's exactly,
you know, and,
right.
And in the same respect, though, is you and what when Tara was on the show last week and we were talking about it, you also have to ask those questions because you're in somebody's house that you don't know them.
Yep,
they
absolutely.
They could honestly be psycho, and it could be harmful to your friends, your team, like it, whatever. And you should the client should be able to have that knowledge or that information presentable to you at that time. If not, don't go in there until you find out.
Right.
Right.
We had a case, and I have the added joy of having those gifts of the Holy Spirit and psychic mediumship and what, and be a client who insisted that they had to be present for the investigation. And we're like, oh, okay, we understand. But then she was asking, do you look in the medicine cabinets? Do you do this? And mentioned she'd had a previous investigation and they were a problem. So it was a little sketchy, but I went into the house and I started looking around, and then I was snapping my fingers and going like this, come out, come out. I spotted listening devices. I said, I don't know what these crackpots are pulling, but we need to not do this. So we laughed. And it was funny because when I pulled her out, she's like, what did you sense, a demon? I said, no, I saw a freaking camera up in the bed watching us. I'm out of here.
That's funny.
Duh. You know, it's not always that, but yeah, you never know. You don't know what their agenda is. The supernatural draws people who have a lot of deep-seated problems and who don't want them to be psychological problems, and so you really do have to protect yourself and be very careful whose cases you take. And also, if you're in there to help, you can say it gently, but I suggested to people, I really think you should go see a neurologist. No, it's a ghost, it's this, it's that. And, you know, I always get to pull the psychic card, like, look, I'm really sensing something dangerous. I think you need to see a doctor. Just get in there, because it's about helping them. And medication makes the problem go away. Wonderful. But that's what it's all about, bringing a quality of life back to you in any means necessary, and it may not be a house blessing you need.
Yeah, I'd much rather know that when I go in, I'm the craziest asshole in the house. That's just me.
Hey Chris, what was your worst situation that you've ever been put into in a residential?
It was a situation where mom was married and had three kids, and best friend got put out. Her and her husband got a divorce, whatever. She had two kids, so, you know, she comes to live with this couple, and next thing you know, the two women end up falling in love. So the other guy gets, you know, they divorce. And so now you've got this family that's so dysfunctional, it's not even funny. Because all the kids all suffered, obviously. You know, not only are you dealing with the fact that there was a divorce happening, but now, you know, mom's in love with a woman and vice versa, which is, I have no problem with that. And I actually take a lot of cases that are same sex because I don't have a problem with that. I'm not here to judge anybody. But nobody took a moment to just things settle before the next thing happened. It was like a whirlwind of things that just happened one after the next. And this family, they didn't need a paranormal investigator. They needed a counselor. In a bad way. You had, you know, kids that were, you know, sexually experimenting with each other. There was frustration. They had animals that were living in the house that were, you know, defecating everywhere, and they tried to hide it with, you know, candles and scented things, and it just was crazy. It was a crazy situation. And, I mean, we could talk all night about that case, the things that we found and the stuff that took place. And there again, you know, their DVD collection was full of all the shows, all the horror movies, you know, and it was a bad situation all around. And, you know, luckily I had a very professional team that, you know, could deal with the situation. Unfortunately, I had a nurse that was a member of the team, and there was some questionable things going on, and she had to report it to the state because, you know, she would have lost her license if she didn't. And, you know, the last thing I want is to see a family be torn apart. I know what it's like to be in foster care. I know it's not a good place to be. And not all foster families are bad, but a lot of them are, more than they are good. And, but with the situation at hand, somebody had to be called, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't turn out to be anything paranormal. It was just all psychological from all different realms. It was bad. It really was. It was bad.
And also in the same respect, too, is, you know, for teams who are just going out there and looking at it as thrill seekers or something like that, you know, your stories that I have, all that stuff, it's not as simplistic, and that's why I will urge any team that's out there, if you are not equipped, like emotionally with somebody on your team who can analyze that and knows about it, don't do residentials. If you're just going out to look for fun, looking for something like that, there's always some sort of event going on in your area, do that. Don't advertise that you're going to come in and help somebody in their home.
Yeah.
There is just way too much shit that's out there, and serious shit, not minor things. There is some serious stuff that you can get yourself hurt, you can get people on your team hurt, you can get yourself way in over your head that you will just not have the capability to deal with, even no matter how arrogant you are, there's shit you're just not going to be able to handle.
Yeah. I agree. And that's where I was talking earlier with where people's pride, you know, gets in their way. And, you know, they're so afraid to reach out because then they don't get to be, you know, the almighty savior. You know, now they've got to share that with somebody else. And it's caused bad things to happen to good people.
Yeah.
But how the ego thing is definitely a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big, big problem. I mean, Christina, you know the private locally that I've talked to you about, and
yes,
you told me hands down, I will not be able to do anything until I get there. And did I not reach out to you saying, hey, this is outside of my realm, I really would like, you know, your help on this one?
Yes. Yes, and if I go in there, I may throw my hands up and say, you need to call someone above me. I can't do this.
Yeah.
But that's the most important aspect of this field is humility. you're not effective if you're not humble, because you're facing things more intelligent than you are. And as Chris just pointed out, sometimes the human element is 1,000 times worse than any supernatural element you'll find. And you have to walk into this with utter and absolute humility, because any help that you offer is not coming from you. You're just an instrument. You're just a servant. You're just a messenger. And you're a poor one at that. And you have to remember that God's the one who does all of this, not you. And unless you bring that spirituality into it, I worry about people who have no grounding who go into this. I remember it was 2 Scarefests ago when I met Chris and heard his story and was just so moved about what he'd been through and what he'd fought. And I thought, you know, to stay in it is just absolutely courageous. And I just has utter respect for Chris and his work, because I refuse to do it. I told people, they're like, don't you think you want to do this? I'm like, no, I do not. It is not my calling. I am not the sword of the church or of the body of Christ. I am not the shield of the body of Christ. I am the head and I am the mouth. That's it. So I think, I talk, I write, all done. I can handle the smaller things. But humility is key, and that absolute reliance on God. And I think that's what affected me so much about Chris and his work and what he does.
You know, people ask me all the time, Christine, you know, they say, why don't you just get out? Why don't you just walk away? Why don't you just leave? You know, it's destroyed your family. It's, you know, almost cost your kids' lives. It's, you know, destroyed you in a sense, to where you've had to climb out of the ashes, not once, but, you know, 2 or 3 times, da-da-da. And I tell people all the time, I said, it's not that I can walk away. Once you're marked for life, so whether I step out of the paranormal and deal with this on my own, or I stay in the paranormal and try to help other people, A, not face this, or if they are facing it, how to deal with it the best they can, you know, the latter one is the one that makes more sense and is more important to me. And, I say it all the time when I do my lectures. I say, you know, towards the end I say, if I touched one person today, one person, then what I go through is worth it, because that's what it's about. And it's, you know, it's just ironic the way things happen. It's, you know, you can't just walk away from it. And that's why it burns my tail to hear people say, you know, oh, I can't wait to meet a demon. I can't wait to, you know, fight my first demon or da 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 da. And I started this whole thing this year where at the beginning of my lecture, before I even say anything or go into anything, and I tell people, I say, be honest, there's no wrong or right answer. How many people here have ever said they wish they could see a demon, or they can't wait to see a demon or whatever? And it's surprisingly alarming how many people raise their hands. It's sickening in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say, okay, no problem, put your hands down, and I'll do my lecture. And at the end of my lecture, I'll say, okay, remember that question I asked you at the beginning? How many people now want to have that happen? And so far, nobody has ever raised their hand that second time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine with me. That means what I'm doing is working, and it's for the right reasons.
Well, and for the general homeowner, though, and, you know, like, just basically, you know, Joe or Sally, who's listening to the show, that really doesn't know much about it, and both of you have told me this behind the scenes and even on air before, too, how infrequent are demons actually in a normal-style haunting?
they're not.
No, I've always said on air and off, the two biggest errors in this field are to see demons everywhere and to see them nowhere. And the point is you see them when they're there. I think everybody jumps to the demonic because for your average person, just 1% of paranormal feels like 100. You don't know how paranormal this is because a bowl went across your counter. And that is so unusual and counterintuitive, and it so shouldn't happen that your mind will immediately jump to the worst possible thing that could have caused that. Whereas those of us in the field would see that and go, oh, cool. It would never occur to us that it was demonic because we've seen that. So I think that's why people jump to that conclusion. And unfortunately, as Chris has mentioned and we've all lamented, those teams come in here and they're like, oh, I smell ashes. It's definitely demonic. I'm like, ashes, did you look in the friggin' fireplace? it's like, oh, he's having nightmares. Definitely demonic. There are scratches. Yeah, there's a 100-year-old cat in the corner. Come on, guys.
Jeez. See, either that or she's got a 7.5 carat rock on her finger that may possibly have caused the scratch on her cheek, you jackwagon. You know, if you have something the size of a boulder stuck to your finger and you're sleeping on that, you're likely to wake up with scratches. And especially,
yes.
Ironically, if it's a square setting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing, too, and actually it just hit me that, you know, that you guys were actually the people that helped me deal with this 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or whatever, is people posting pictures they don't know what the hell they're posting. Go on a social network and say, hey, I think I've caught something. What do you think? And then when people start breaking it down and give valid proof and points at what you've caught, do not go into defense mode and start getting angry because they debunked what you thought you caught.
I remember you posting about that, and I get myself into trouble all the time. I'm like, it's a hair in front of the lens. It's a glare.
Well, there was a team, bless their hearts, they're good people. They really are good people. And I've seen their work. And it, you know, I really didn't think they would respond in the manner they did. But they posted a picture that they had gotten at Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, which I now know who the person was. Because I'm good friends with the guy that runs the tours there. And they posted this picture that they took down a long hallway, and at the end of the hallway, they thought they had caught a shadow person. Well, first of all, the first thing that caught my eye before I even blew it up or did anything to it was the shadow was two different color tones. The bottom half was lighter than the top half. Instantly in my mind goes, that's somebody wearing a dark-colored hoodie or sweat jacket, and they've got blue jeans on. Instantly. It wasn't even a second guess. How many pictures have we went through and looked at over the years doing investigations? It's, you know, most people wear the dark clothing up and then the blue jeans or whatever down. So you get that in a lot of pictures. And later, once the picture was, you know, was enlarged and zoomed on a bigger screen that I was able to see, it was obvious that it was a person that was blocking the window, and they kept trying to say, oh, you can see the window pane. They're, you know, it's, you know, you can see it through them. It's like translucent. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're looking at, but what I'm seeing is a big black blob that's blocking the window. And its definite character shows it's wearing a dark jacket of some sort or hoodie, and they've got blue jeans on. And and they got mad. Oh, they got pissed and got defensive. And, you know, it's just like, whoa, guys, wait a minute. You know, don't put it on a social network asking for our opinion, and then when somebody gives it to you, breaks it down. And it wasn't just like one or two people were saying it. Everybody was saying it, except for the team members. The team members kept chiming in going, guys, there was nobody at the end of the hallway. We were there. We know, you know, da-da-da. I'm like, I'm telling you, somebody's at the end of that hallway that you didn't know was down there because you got a picture of them. And come to find out, it was the tour guide.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I saw your stuff on that, and you knew that I was all over that because we were going back and forth commenting and agreeing and
oh yeah,
bringing up other shit about it, too.
Well, and that's the thing. Is like, and I nicely approached them when they first posted it because I didn't want it to go where it went. I knew that's what was going to happen. So I would, you know, they would say, but nobody was, I'm like, and I would come back, you know, they would say, oh, but nobody was down in the hallway, da, da, da. And I would come back and go, you know, this same thing that happened to another team that I'm good friends with. They thought that the room was empty. They caught this dark shadow walk across the doorway on camera. And then later, you know, they posted it. Oh, we caught this evidence, da, da, da. And then come to find out later on, they found out it was a team member. And they went through this whole ordeal and was humiliated. And then they had to come back and apologize to everybody. And so I was trying to keep them from having to go down that road. And they just kept going at it. And eventually somebody did end up taking the picture, blowing it up, where you could distinctly tell what it was, and posting it on their Facebook page and saying, this is your black shadow. Any more comments?
Oh,
and it was like, you know, and it was like, there you go. You know, you try to help somebody and keep them from having to go through that humiliation. But they, you know, their pride got in the way. And
mm-hmm.
It ended up being debunked, and it was blatantly obvious that it was a person. And, you know, now they look like they present false evidence, and they don't. I've seen a lot of their stuff, and they do have really good evidence. Just this was not one of those pieces. But now they're going to be questioned on everything.
Yeah, that reminds me, just as a good joke, Howard's still listening in. Over the weekend, you know, I discussed that I went on a public event helping out another team. Well, while they were up on the stage reviewing the evidence that they had got in this location from a previous visit, they designated me as the quote-unquote team cameraman and handed me their camera and go, just, you know, pictures of all the people and you know, us up on the stage and, you know, the area, just keep snapping pictures. Well, they were cleaning up upstairs in the restaurant while we were downstairs in the theater area. It's wooden floors, and I'm standing right beneath a can light, recessed light. I see just shitloads of dust falling out of the rafters, and I'm like, oh, I can't resist this. I picked the camera up towards it, and I must have took 6 or 8 pictures of nothing but dust falling. When I went over and handed the camera back, I said, you're going to freak when you see this. Yeah. I said, you're going to freak when you see this. I have got, like, shit tons of orbs that were right over there by me. And she got this really weird look on her face, and I said, no, I'm kidding. There was a lot of dust falling on my head. I just couldn't resist screwing with you. So you got a whole bunch of dust orbs. She just looked at me and goes, I want my Butterfingers back, asshole. But I couldn't resist doing it. It was one of those where I know that's going to come up. I know there's going to be, you know, someone in the crowd took a picture or something, and it's going to be, wow, look at this orb. Oh,
yeah.
That's a great piece of illuminated dust.
My fun part is when they've got a camera underneath a stairwell or something like that, and people walk up steps and the dirt and dust falls down into the, you know, the area, and they're like, oh my God, did you see that? We got, you know, we got some ectoplasm, or we got, you know, da 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 da, and it's like, no, you didn't. That's cool. Dirt and dust, whatever, falling as people are going up and down the steps. It's disturbing the air, and you got it on camera. Congratulations.
The Society for Psychical Research in London did an experiment and proved once and for all that orbs are dust. And they did stereo cameras pointed at exactly the same spot. And they started taking pictures, so the two were snapping at the exact same time. And they showed that one camera would have an orb in the spot, but the other wouldn't. And if that was the case, then the object was clearly close to the camera. And so they showed that without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And my good friend David Roundtree, that's one of the things in his book. He tells you, you know, when you go into a home, first of all, you should go into every room and take pictures, because that way if, you know, later on in the night you realize that an alarm clock or whatever is flashing, wasn't flashing before, you know, you have that data collected before you do any investigating. But he says in his book, use two cameras when you're doing any kind of camera work, because that way you've got the probability, if you've caught something, it will be on both cameras. But if it's only on one, then that's questionable, because both cameras should have picked it up. You know, and that's a perfect example, you know, with the dust or the lighting or whatever being close, you know, being closer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, for all three of you real quick, I just posted a picture and tagged you in it, and it's caught on camera. It's extremely compelling. And, you know, once you get a chance to look at it, just let me know what you think. Anyway.
I sense sarcasm in your voice.
No, not at all. But no, it's possibility of a demon that took over me. I don't know. But anyway,
I'm thinking there's a much better chance that that was spirit, much like we had at the hotel in Pennsylvania there at Parafest.
No, if you're talking about spirit, that was the spirit angel of boredom. That's truly all that was.
Hey, at least it wasn't the horse's ass on your head.
No, that was under the head.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, it always ends up being quite an interesting conversation. And, you know, I've got Ross in the chat asking, what about the ones with colors, referring to the orbs? Think about it. If you have carpet in a location, the fibers, the dust, the dander out of that are going to have color in it. So 9 out of 10, that's why you have an orb that has color to it. I am not a fan in any way, shape, or form of orbs as spirit energy.
Well, they didn't exist before digital cameras. It's because digital cameras focus automatically, and what it's trying to do is make sense of an object close while it's focusing far. And the interior of the camera, the digital camera, uses a quick flash of light to take the picture. And so that's why you get that little piece of light, because that object is close and is registering as light because of the way a digital camera works. But think about it. Before the 1990s, where are the pictures of the orbs? They don't exist. Also, you'll get some rainbow color in an orb if there's water in it, because the light's hitting it, and water has a prism effect. So you'll get little rainbows and stuff, too.
My favorite is when somebody takes a picture and they're like, it's two people in the picture, one's closer than the other, and it's obvious that when they took the picture, they moved their hand slightly or something, or actually the person in the back moved when the picture was being clipped, so that person's, like, blurry, they look, like, all functified, and the person in the front's focused, and it's like, you know, oh my gosh, just look what I caught. Yeah, you caught somebody moving so that threw them off focus, you know.
And I use, like, the first thing that I do when I go set up for an investigation, I walk through each and every room with a video camera. There's two reasons for that. If they claim that there was some, you know, irreplaceable antique vase from the Ming Dynasty that their great-great-great-great-great-great-aunt passed down when she was, you know, having coital relations with Emperor Ming, I can go back on, like, you know, all of a sudden it vanished after the investigation. I can go back and review the video and go, well, it wasn't even there when we walked in the door, so you better look somewhere else. Or secondly, if they claim that something came up missing, you know, I've got that video to say that, well, it was there, that item was on video, none of our people touched it. You know, it's just a CYA effect. Of course, now the benefit I've got, you know, out of my team of five, three are law enforcement officers. I'm not thinking shit's going to come up missing. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a good way to CYA.
Absolutely.
You know, like I said, I want to know when I go in that I'm the craziest SOB in the house. Just makes me comfortable. And, you know, as far as if they've got teenage children, you know, you can't tell really from their video collection or anything, but one of the things that I always make sure to ask is, so, you know, do you watch any of the Ghost Hunter shows or, you know, GAC or anything like that? Oh, yeah, I watch them all. Okay, well, there's one red flag. It's just crazy. I mean, you know, and Joe Bob down the street isn't going to take the time to do all that. The other thing is Joe Bob down the street probably will not be available in a month when things are a little crazier or, you know, at 2 a.m. like Matt and myself have been on numerous occasions when the client calls you up just freaking the hell out. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've talk to Matt at 1 in the morning because he's on the phone with a client that's losing their mind. And if you're not willing to do that, don't get in this field.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's definitely not like the glamour you see on TV to where you're going to go out and, oh, yeah, we spent 20 minutes and we had no EVPs and then look what happened. No, sometimes it's 4 to 5 hours. And then you catch something to where it's like, well, maybe that could be something. It really is not a glamorous field. It's not a field for somebody who doesn't have patience.
Oh, yeah. I have to agree. I tell people all the time, yeah, if you like sitting around watching 40 hours of video, listening to 180 hours of audio, dealing with people, talking about their problems, calling you at all hours of the night, and you have nothing else better to do, then yes, this field is for you.
It's a lot of sitting in dirty basements in the dark.
Right? Exactly. Or, you know, dusty raccoon hidden attics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've come across those.
Or, you know, finding out that they have raccoons living in the crawl space, and that's what we keep hearing scratching over in that area. You know, that's probably that fat-ass raccoon that tried to tear my face off when I crawled into your crawl space.
Hey, Real quick, we have about 4 minutes of actual live show left. So, Chris, if you want to throw out any plugs or websites or anything like that, feel free. Christina, same thing after Chris is done.
Yeah, if you want to check me out, we just revamped all brand new website, and we're still working on it, but it's probably at about 90% now. But check it out. It's www.chrisstedman.com, and then, of course, my links to my Twitter and my Facebook are on there. There's stuff about the paranormal clergy and prayers and blessings and kind of what's going on, so definitely check it out.
I would just say go check out Chris's stuff because he makes a much greater sacrifice than I do, and he needs all our prayers and support. So don't worry about me. Go check him out. Go check out Paranormal Clergy. They're really behind-the-scenes heroes and true servants. So
yeah,
I appreciate that very much.
What a selfless sweetheart you are, Christina.
No, I'm not selfless. There's my husband. Go ask him.
guys, it's funny, but, you know, it's people like Christina that I need to be able to lean on and give me that strength and help me deal with what I deal with in such a positive way, because positive reinforcement and the power of prayer is so, so positive, and I've seen it work. You know, a lot of times when I do these events or I do these conventions, when I do my lecture, they're there. I can feel them there. They're wanting in so bad to tear me down. It's like rabid dogs at the door trying to get in at me, and because I'm spreading, one, the gospel without people realizing, and two, I'm creating more warriors against this problem and this situation and things that can happen. And, you know, the devil wants to destroy man because it's made in the image of God, and what better way to help defend that but then to make more warriors to help protect it? And, you know, so I am – at one point of me, I'm having to fight off these things to keep them at bay while I'm doing these lectures. And at the other, I'm trying to share my compassion and my heart and my soul and what I do. So when I get done, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I feel like I just ran a mile in, like, you know, a minute, because it's so draining. And so a lot of times, you know, when I do my lectures and stuff, I have to kind of go decompress. The one that got me the worst this year, I did phenomenology in Gettysburg, and I don't know what was there, but when I got done with my lecture, I went back to the table, because I always do, because I don't take questions and stuff there, because I don't want to tie up the next speaker, you know, I don't want to cut into their time and them not be able to come in and get their stuff hooked up and stuff. So I always tell people, come back to my booth, see me there, ask questions. And I went back to the booth, and I was probably there almost another hour after my lecture taking questions and stuff. And when we got done, I looked over to my buddy that helps me out and, you know, goes to the events with me and helps me out. So I said, look, I've got to go to the room. I can barely stand. And I went back to the room, and I ended up taking a 2.5-hour nap. I've never done that before, and especially that long, because, you know, I can't help people if I'm not in their presence. And whatever was there, man, it was nasty, and it did not want me doing what I was doing, and it just drained me completely.
Yeah, and that's,
I see.
You know, we had, go ahead, Christina.
No, I was just going to say, I experienced attacks before teaching, before talking to converts, and so it's very similar, however, nowhere near that intensity, nowhere near, so I just hope everybody gives you their prayers and support, and thank you for saying yes.
You just keep the prayers coming, sweetie. Hey, well, guys, you know, hey, it's been a great show, but it has been a very long day, and tomorrow is going to be another one. So I'm going to part ways. Thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a blast.
Yeah. Chris, no matter what, you're always welcome. Hey, if you're sitting around bored, always welcome to call in and shoot the shit for a little while. I mean, definitely. I mean, you become like family to Dennis and I, so always welcome in anything that we have going on.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I appreciate
definitely.
That.
Yeah, that's...
You take care of yourself.
But,
take care, Chris. Thank you.
No, I'm here. I didn't hear that he was talking to me. Thanks, Chris. You have a wonderful night, my friend.
You all take
we
care.
We appreciate the hell out of it. Thanks, Chris. You too. God bless, brother. Stay safe.
Bye-bye. Good night, man.
Good night.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the good guys to have on your side, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to agree with him, and that it's been a long day.
Yeah, I thank you for the invitation. I just enjoy listening to Chris talk. But thank you for letting me call in and talk to him a bit. That was really nice. But everybody sounds tired, so I'm going to let everyone go, too. but you
yeah.
can give a call about that, about the other things you wanted to discuss.
All right. Yeah, I definitely will. If, you know, once I gave her my number, told her anytime, told her how to find me on Facebook, told her anytime if she wants to talk, and then we'll see about getting in as soon as possible and help her out. Like I said, at this point, I don't know what I'm going to face with it. But if I need your help, I definitely know I can reach out to you, darling.
Oh, you bet. Anytime, anything.
All right. You take care, sweetheart. God bless. Thanks for calling in, Chris.
You too. Oh, sure. God bless you both. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, hon.
Thank you. Lovely to talk to you soon.
And yet again, folks, another awesome program in the books. Some interesting information brought out.
Yeah, and yet another one that we go into archives. Can we, I don't think we can ever end on time, can we?
No. It just doesn't work. I mean, we've been at this now just over a year. I think the only time we haven't gone into archive was when Blog Talk screwed up and canceled our show for us.
That's pretty damn accurate, actually.
And on those, we didn't. Not only did we not go into archive, we didn't go into broadcast, period. So,
yeah. So it was a given we weren't going to go into archive.
Yeah, exactly.
But
my next thing after I get off of here, I've got Howard and Ryan are over there watching video now, evidence review. They've been sitting there, Howard tells me, for about 6 hours. And I have about 12 hours of audio that I need to review from Hanover Tavern and about 3 hours of video.
Oh, you're not starting that shit tonight, are you?
I will probably listen to an hour or so on the audio. Since we were going from area to area, I have several start and stop points on the audio. So I'll probably listen to one area. We were in each area for about 45 minutes. So I'll probably listen to one area and see if anything comes up. I know we heard it while we were there. We did some spontaneous bursts and, you know, just a little straight up 5 minute and then review right there on the spot so that the attendees could actually hear what we get. But, you know, I've got to catalog all the information, catalog all the audio. Even though I have Well, I had three recorders running over the 4-hour period. Even though I have 12 hours of audio recorded as a total, it's probably going to take me 25% longer than that because of replay and double check and, you know, all right, what was that? Okay, now let's go back to the beginning and listen to all the voices and see if that matches to a voice that is present. You know, you've got 10 people in the room. We open up each session with name and where you're from. That gives you a voice pattern on each individual. You know, joy, joy.
Yeah.
So I will definitely know the names of it. Yeah, I will definitely know the names of everybody that was in my group by heart when we're done. Because we had, let's see, my group actually had three of the guides / chaperones, and we had 9 attendees in our group. And the main thing was just the reason that we had, like, we had group 1, 2, 3, and 4, and the reason that we had no less than 2 of the investigators / guides in the group was to make sure that everybody stayed together and we didn't lose anybody. You know, no wandering around. You know, plus, and now my group made sure that we spaced the guides out in the room. And that way, you know, if Joe Bob, the attendee, scuffed his feet, you know, I had a guide right close to him so we could get that tagged in the audio.
Well,
instead of relying on someone that's not, you know, practiced at it.
That was also something else. If you're going to go to a public event, and this is more directed towards the women, don't wear thick-ass, hard-sole fucking high heels. And if you do, don't walk. Like, if something's going on, just don't move. But otherwise, you don't have to, and you're still going to be gorgeous, but at the same time, you don't have to look that damn cute in a dark room. So,
yes.
Tennis shoes.
Under night vision, we are not going to know that you have your makeup perfect.
No.
But, yeah, they actually had a list of the descriptors that all the people that registered for it was sent via email. You know, don't spray yourself down heavily with cologne or perfume. Don't wear like the nylon jackets. You know, fleece preferably, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Soft-soled shoes. And I will have to give kudos to David, who was the director of the foundation out there. Full faith and confidence in, Steve over at Transcend Paranormal to run it the way he wanted, and I think it went off wonderful.
Well,
I think between the two of them, they did a great job.
Yeah, no, I mean, and just to say, like, it's not, you know, anybody being a dick or anything like that. It's just you have to understand from our behind the earphone or behind the monitor end of it, it just creates a shit ton more for us. If you hear an audio thing and it's zzz, 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 it's like, oh, well, what the hell was that? Well, that's, you know, Adam walking around wearing his nylon jacket and swinging his arms or sitting there moving for no reason or a chick wearing a clog or a guy wearing cowboy boots. Like, no, it just... The more silent the attire, the better.
Yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of fleece at this point. If I could, I'd put my whole damn team in fleece jumpsuits.
then you'd look like a cult.
It didn't say with purple Reeboks. But I'm going to jump off of here, brother. I'm going to go ahead. I think I'm actually going to just deal with review tomorrow. I'm going in now and visit my wonderful friend NyQuil and see if I can sleep.
Ah. Yes. He's good, but he's a bitch in the morning.
Well, if you're going to do something tonight that you'll regret in the morning, sleep late till after 12.
Hey, did I obviously with no computer, I don't have the access to it, but are we set for Wednesday or is that still open?
As far as I know, we are set for Wednesday, and I am going in now to look at that conversation, and I will tell you actually who we have. So give me 2 moments here. As soon as I find this, there we are.
There is 1 moment. There is 2. Got it?
Really? What? When? Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking to me? What? Oh, I'm sorry. When? No, I didn't get it. So on Wednesday, we have Lyle Lotz from Twisted Paranormal Society. They've been on some local news stations, local newspapers, and they're somewhere from the Tidewater area. So that is for Wednesday. Lyle Lotz, Twisted Paranormal Society. And you can actually find them if you want a little advance information on them. It's just Twisted Paranormal Society on Facebook. There we go. So what do you think?
Of course I'm good with it. Also, hey, little switch of pace for next Wednesday, and I'm working on ironing out the final details, is having a woman named Sally from the Wolf Sanctuary, which is in Colorado, if I remember right. So a little bit of a change of pace for Full Spectrum. We're going to be doing a animal conservation show.
Excellent.
Possibly. So.
Possibly. Okay.
Possibly. Yes. The details on that one, but. Anyway, everybody, thank you for joining us this evening. Dennis, I love you, man, and I will see you on Wednesday, or talk to you at least.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we won't see each other. I'm not driving up to Chicago, man. I heard you guys had some of that white shit falling out of the sky today.
Yeah, fuck you.
Hey, well, I want you to know it wasn't perfect here today either. It was only, like, 60, I think.
Yeah, well, it beats. No, hold on. For your weekly Chicago weather report, the current conditions are 29 and flurries.
29 and flurries. Now, see, that sounds cold to me. I'm not
no,
sure.
No.
It just
updated 27.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that really sucks. I will give you the local here. And for Highland Springs, Virginia, which is just outside Richmond, our current temperature is 48 degrees with gusts out of the south at about 16 miles per hour and slightly cloudy skies.
Yeah, I'd be riding right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice enough to ride, man. 50 degrees ain't nothing. Like I said, I think it got to about 60 today. I was running around, short sleeve shirt, windows down, stereo up, and then some jackass decided to throw in there the possibility tomorrow for a snow shower. That really doesn't matter because, you know, that'll disappear by, you know, lunchtime, I'm sure. But
yeah, shut up.
It's supposed to be really cold tomorrow, though. I think they're calling for, like, mid-40s.
Ooh. Yeah, tomorrow the high is 33.
Well, hey, it could be worse, man. I was watching, I forget which TV channel, because I watch so much different crap. Life Below Zero. And it's pretty much based up around, you know, Arctic Circle and shit, Alaska. I'm going, you know, if I got to go cut a hole through 3 or 4 feet of ice to get to fresh water, I'm not much of a happy camper at that point. But, yeah, no. Life Below Zero. No.
Yeah, I'm knocking on that door for at least till April. So, anyway, thank you, everybody. Dennis, go get some sleep. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And have a good night. CPR Matt, CPR Dennis. On Facebook and on Twitter, and ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com.
Have a great night, folks. We appreciate you tuning in, and I will give you a little bit of nice music to play us out.
Pretended that we still live with no regrets. We never bled, and we took everything life could give and came up broken, empty-handed in the end. In the heart of the blind, something you'll never find is a vision of a light. With the voice of the dead, I'm screaming. Someone warned me of this hell.